Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, September 3rd. I'm Ray Graff. It's that time of the month again. Our favorite bird experts are back. Rich Guthrie and Julie Hart are here to share their birding knowledge with you and answer your questions. To take part in the discussion today, if you're a bird fancier, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. This is a popular show, and we do it once a month, but there's inevitably a long list of people who don't get through. If you really have that question that's bugging you, call right now, 800-348-2551. You can email voxpop@wamc.org. Rich Guthrie, Julie Hart, your birding questions coming up right after the news. Hello, welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We are discussing birds today, and when we do that, we welcome back Julie Hart and Rich Guthrie. Rich is retired from the New York State DEC. He's now the regional reviewer for the premier birding site eBird. He is a world traveler and a prominent after-dinner speaker. Julie Hart is the project coordinator of the New York Breeding Bird Atlas. She coordinates with thousands of volunteers to document bird breeding behaviors. She has a focus on bird conservation and citizen science. If you have a bird question, this is your chance. 800-348-2551 is our number, 800-348-2551, or you can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. Julie Hart, welcome back.
Hi, I'm glad to be back.
Good to have you here. And Rich Guthrie, the same to you.
Well, thank you. A little hesitancy there, but that tells me.
No. It's fine. Everything's fine. You're both on vacation. Rich, why don't you tell us about your vacation? You went to some far-flung region.
Yeah, on the bottom side of the world.
Yes.
Fun trip down to Brazil to take a look at how things are in actually quite large, beautiful country. A lot of things going on there.
Yeah, I heard they have an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
Good coffee.
It's an old
good
song.
Coffee. Different varieties, too.
Yeah.
European style, American style, and, of course, Brazilian.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we did not sing "They've Got an Awful Lot of Coffee in Brazil."
I'm glad we did not
either.
You
don't even know the tune, do you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sinatra.
Not a clue.
They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
All right.
I missed that one. Sorry.
What kind of birds did you see, Rich? Anything fabulous?
Oh, colorful stuff.
Yeah.
The awful lot of little brown birds that are always on the other side of the leaf on a tree, and whose names I can't pronounce and I'll probably never see again.
Yeah.
But the beautiful parrots and other colorful tanagers. Beyond belief. I'll be putting pictures of those up on my Facebook page.
Oh, cool. And so how do people do that?
Yeah, just go to Facebook. My name, Richard Guthrie. No dots, no dashes, no nothing.
So how do you spell Guthrie?
G-U-T-H-R-I-E. And look for the guy that's surrounded by a constellation of dandelions.
What?
Yeah.
Dandelions.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, Julie Hart, you didn't go as far as Brazil.
No.
But you were on vacation. Where were you?
I did. I was in northern Vermont on Lake Memphremagog. Yeah, I love it up there in the Northeast Kingdom, as it's called. Yeah.
What'd you see?
I didn't see any parrots, though. I did see some loons, which are always a nice treat.
Yeah.
Gray or Canada jays, as they are now called.
Jays.
They're not like our blue jays. They're
no.
They're the boreal version, and they are very tame and like to eat out of your hand.
Wow.
So yeah, we had lots of jays following us around, begging for food. and then lots of boreal migrants were starting to move through already.
That's amazing.
So yeah.
So that
was good.
So that did you swim up to the Canada side?
I did not swim into the Canada side.
No,
I walked up to the Canada side.
Will they clamp down if you try to swim just a little too far, or is there like one of those things in pools to keep the deep end?
No, there's nothing.
Really?
No.
Did you see the fabled monster that's in Lake
Memphremagog?
Yeah.
I did not.
There's supposedly one.
I know there is. Yeah, but I did not see it.
Why is Rich smirking?
I'll be looking for. I did see the one in Champ in Lake Champlain once.
Okay, yeah.
Well, not the real thing, just a kind of like a
Yeah,
representation.
It's like Memfrey, I think, is the French name for the one in Memfrey Magog. And
may we.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we got a couple of emails here. Let's do those, and then we'll break, and then we'll hit the phones. 800-348-2551 is our number. If you have a bird question for Julie Hart and Rich Guthrie, Nadine and Tom in Kingsbury write in, "Last year, we wrote into Cher about a chickadee that fed from our hand. She was around 9 months that last Labor Day. You know what? Sometimes the syntax and everything throws me off. This is perfectly correct. She was around for about 9 months. Then, last Labor Day, she left our area along with her gang of six, as well as most other birds that had been coming to the feeders. About 2 weeks ago, Nadine was sitting on the porch reading the newspaper when a bird flew right into the paper. I looked on the porch railing and a chickadee was standing there staring at me. I got some sunflower seeds. She fed from my hand immediately. We're sure it was Sweetie. She always looked kind of scruffy and was very picky about what seeds she took. Amazing that almost a year had gone by." Isn't that something?
That is a really sweet story.
Is that, now, was it the same bird or was it just wishful thinking? Rich Guthrie, you're raising your hand. Go ahead,
sir. Yeah, I'll say that the birds have a terrific memory.
They do.
They love you and they don't forget when you treat them nice. And I will say the same thing has happened to me several times over. I go away and I come back after 2 weeks, after a year. The blue jays who came up regularly right to the porch and helped themselves to peanuts I put out, right there again. The hummingbird, a year later, coming back from Mexico or further, comes right back to the same feeder, tolerates me right up and says hi.
We just got back from 2 weeks of vacation, and we had all the feeders were down, all the water was down. As soon as we pulled in the driveway, all the birds were coming to the backyard. They were coming to the windows. They were chirping. They were like, "Where is our food? You're back. Give us our food."
Now, birds don't really have a good sense of smell, do they?
No, but they have good sight. So they know our car, and they know what we look like.
And they got bird brains. They learn well, and they keep it
do.
Well.
They do, yep.
Yeah, right. This is from Mariana in Lackawanna, Pennsylvania, who says, "So I love the show. We love you. Thank you, Mariana. Do birds molt unevenly? At this time at the feeder, I have a few blue jays that have had no head feathers. They look like someone gave them a buzz cut. Are they molting or are they juveniles and have not grown adult head feathers yet?"
They're adults.
Yeah.
They're adults. And
this
molting?
Is what they do. It's curious that blue jays do that quite often, and so do cardinals.
Cardinals, yeah.
And very few of the other bird species will follow that molt pattern where they lose all their head feathers and look real goofy for a while.
Interesting. All right, one more email, and then we'll hit the phones. I think we might have to check the phone system because I don't have any calls on my computer screen here. I don't know. Do you guys? Okay. So we might want to reboot that during the break, but we have another seven emails here, so here we go. This is from Jeffrey in Coxsackie. "Yesterday, I saw my first hummingbird, so I put up my hummingbird feeder. Oh, I also have not seen any chickadees or goldfinches this year. Any comments? Where have they gone?"
And that's a little late there, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Party's almost over.
For the hummingbirds?
Yeah, but a good idea. Put the feeders up. If you have feeders up, keep them up. Hummingbirds are fueling up right now for that long trip south, and the other ones are coming in from the north and from the far west. So I say keep the hummingbird feeders up well into November.
Okay.
Because some of these far distant, that's when the rare birds really show up.
How can you tell the difference? In other words, yesterday I was out taking the air on the back patio, and we have bee bomb, which is pretty well shot by now, around the corner, and a hummingbird, I believe it was not a hummingbird moth, but it was a hummingbird, just flitted into my view and then gone. It looked darker than some of the ones I have seen before. How do you tell if it's a rare one?
Well, they are very, very hard to tell apart, especially the females and juveniles. They all look alike. They're all green with white underneath. The brown ones are easy to pick out. Those are the rufous hummingbird from the far west coast and perhaps even closer nowadays because times are changing, they are. But anytime you see one of these, get a picture. You know, it's subtle differences make a big difference, and that's the trick of the game. And anything after October 1st, by all means,
really?
Double check it. Yeah, because it gets them a little while to get here, and most of the ruby throats are gone by then. So any hummingbird after the 1st of October, not to exclude August and September hummingbirds, but...
Yeah. Well, now, Jeffrey, you know, is going to put his hummingbird feeder up, so he might have a good month or two, right? Or
sure.
Now, he second part of the question, I haven't seen any chickadees or goldfinches this year. Where have they gone?
This, I don't know.
They'll be back. Yeah. They're out there feeding on the wild food that's out there. They, you know, they found a better man. Besides, they probably figured that you're going to be late with the meal. They'll come late for dinner.
Yeah, there you are. All right, let's take a break here. 800-348-2551. That's the telephone number. 800-348-2551. We've only just begun. It's Birds Today with Rich Guthrie on Julie Hart. We'll be back. Fox Pop, it's Birding Today with Rich Guthrie and Julie Hart. Ray Graff, your humble host, at 800-348-2551. One more email here. Make it two, and then we'll hit the phones. This is from John in Deerfield, who says, this past year, I have seen more black vultures in western Massachusetts. Are you seeing more on that side of the Berkshires and the Hudson? I assume around these parts, around the Albany area.
And the answer is definitely yes. And good observation there, because the black vulture is a new kid on the block around here. Used to be, first of all, zero vultures back in the day, then turkey vultures, and then two or three decades later, the black vultures showed up, and that was about 10 or 12 years ago. And since they arrived, the busloads just keep coming, and they're spreading out and making themselves at home in more and more new places.
I like them. Julie?
Yeah, I think they're pretty cool. They live here and then all the way down into the tropics in South America. That's pretty amazing. I'll add too that the turkey vultures are going to be leaving relatively soon, probably in the next month or so.
Yep.
And then the black vultures, some of them will hang around. So as we get into the colder months, if you're seeing vultures around, they're more likely to be the newcomers, the black vultures.
Now these guys they're pretty big. Will they ride thermals?
Sure.
Yeah, I thought I saw one way up, just circling. Yeah. It was too big to be a hawk, I think.
If you see a thermal, maybe with a couple of vultures in it, put your binoculars on it, because oftentimes in there, there'll be a hawk, a much smaller hawk that might not meet your eye until you put the binoculars on.
This was, I believe, just a sighting of an individual. It was a real nice day. I was up on the roof admiring the sky and... All right, let's go to Roberta in Monterey. Hello, Roberta in Monterey. How are you?
Good, good, thank you. I just want Jeff to know that all the chickadees are in my yard.
Okay. What's up?
I've had eastern bluebirds breeding for the last number of years and hanging around all winter, some of them. This year, I had one couple all summer, and they first there were six eggs and nothing hatched. I took out the nest eventually. She made a nest the next day, five eggs, and then the third nest, three eggs, none of which hatched.
Julie, what do you think?
Why?
Some reason that sounds like they're inviable eggs. I don't.
Is that possible? Does that happen?
Shouldn't be that
surely,
many.
In nature, lots of things can happen for mysterious reasons. And for every rule, there's an exception
right out
there.
It would be, I think it's unusual, though, that all three of those nests would have failed eggs.
But same female, presumably.
Right,
and there must
same
have been
female.
Something going on with that female.
And the same couple, and also the eggs are, and always have been, even the last years, always are white eggs.
Huh. Okay. White eggs.
That's unusual.
That is unusual.
Yeah, rather than the blue. Neighbors have blue ones. We have white ones.
Huh.
Well,
is this a case of mistaken identity?
It could be. It could be another species in there, and then the bluebirds are just not successfully incubating the other species.
Oh, they're
eggs.
Really blue.
Oh, the bluebirds really, you got, right. The eggs, maybe a different donor.
Right. But,
on the other hand, a different donor. What do you mean? Well, what is this?
The other years, the babies all were, you know, bluebirds.
Yeah,
you know,
legitimate.
I watched them for weeks.
Genuine.
After.
Yeah, I buy it. I just, I think there's something really going on there. And again, the egg coloration may be part of the malfunctioning mm-hmm. going on there. So it's. From this distance, I could only suppose, but it'd be interesting to have another look at that if it comes up again.
All right, Roberta, thanks for the call. It's Birding Today with Julie Hart at Rich Guthrie. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. By the way, speaking of the mysterious goldfinch disappearance in one section of our listening area, Sally writes in, "As I listen, I can at least advise that the Colony Watervliet area seems to have an abundance of goldfinches. I do have a finch feeder with Niger seed, but I also have the yard planted in various species of coneflower, which they are enjoying with relish."
Yeah.
I like relish, too.
Yeah, it must be coneflowers with relish. Mm, delicious. All right, let's go to Poquag. It's Susie. Hey, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I grow a lot of Monarda and the annual tall salvias, the black and blues, and there's so many hummingbirds I can hardly go by without having to dodge them.
Okay.
And the annuals are so cheap, too. You know, you can get like, you know, 30 of them for $15.
Highly recommended. That's really the pathway to go when it comes to hummingbirds.
Yeah, I don't use any feeders or anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's working for you.
Yeah. Also, I have a question. I grow a lot of agastache as well for the, you know, pollinators. And goldfinches are all over it. What are they eating?
What's agastache, first of all?
Yeah, I don't know that
it's
one
either. It's a tall plant, yeah.
Okay. Native.
You guys know.
Oh, really? I don't know. Rich looked as confused
no,
as.
No, I don't know it.
None of us know.
Oh.
Tell
yeah,
us about the agastache.
Tall. It has spikes of blue flowers, and it's great for the pollinators. They're all over it. The goldfinches are pecking away at the flowers.
Huh.
They're probably getting seeds out of the flowers.
I guess so, yeah.
I'm going to look that up and put some in my garden.
I don't know that one.
All right. Well, hey, thank
you. Okay, great.
Thank you very much for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Rich Guthrie. It's Julie Hart. It's all about birds today. Let's go to Newburgh. And Kathy, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I think this is probably a question for Julie because you were up in the area. But I'm really interested in the Cape May warblers and especially in their nesting habits. And I'm wondering about when they migrate, does the whole family migrate together? And also there's a rumor that when there's an infestation of the spruce bug, that there's more of the eggs laid of the Cape May warbler. So interested in all those things.
Yeah. So, that's a great question. And I did see a lot of Cape May warblers when I was just on vacation up in northern Vermont. So they have bred in New York before, but we haven't had them in the last like 2 decades really because we haven't had any of those spruce budworm outbreaks that you mentioned. They do specialize on that. So most of them are breeding further north of us up in Canada in the boreal forest. And they are migrating now is when they start. And they generally do not go as a family. You'll see like the males kind of come through first. That's when usually the adults come through first and then the juveniles will follow later. So that's
okay.
I think I hit all your questions.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
They're really Birds. Really cool birds. Yeah, very cool birds.
All right, Kathy, thanks a lot for the call. It's Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. Ray Graff with you. It's birds. Rich Guthrie, Julie Hart, they'll answer your questions. And this email, you know what? Don't I usually say please don't send pictures? All right. Somebody sent pictures.
I like pictures.
All right, well, I'll hand it around to you, but the listener, you'll have to describe it then.
Yep.
I'll read the letter, and then you can describe it.
Okay.
This is from Lisa. Been curious about these two photos. In the first one, this fellow or lady showed up on my lawn totally unexpected. I believe it's some sort of cormorant. That's what the Cornell Bird app says. Just wanted to confirm and ask is it typical to the Saratoga Springs area? Second photo, one of my friendly jaybird calling for peanuts showed up, and it looks like he forgot to do his hair. I know it sounded great photo. Got to check your emails a little bit. I sound even worse at reading than I actually am. I know it sounded great photo. It's my new window screens. Oh, not a great photo. But if you can zoom in, you can see it's almost like he shaved his head. He looks like a baby bird. And the rest of his body is just perfectly beautiful blue jay. Any idea what this might be from? All right, I hand it to you, Julie. You get to paint the picture.
All right. Yeah, so the blue jay, we did talk about that before.
The molting.
They molt and yep. lose all of their head feathers at one time, and they look a bit like a vulture.
Right.
And then the first photo, interesting, yeah. So it's a mown lawn, and there's
nice.
A small dark brown bird with a yellowish bill, and it is indeed a cormorant.
Ah.
A double-crested cormorant. And here I'll pass it
along
to Rich.
Okay. It's show and tell here on a radio
yeah.
show. It doesn't work out that well. 800-348.
Goofy looking cormorant sitting
yeah.
in the grass.
Yeah, normally they'll be sitting on a rock or swimming in the water, not normally on the grass.
That's
like
a funny looking bird right there.
Well, they're related to the pelican. And as odd as that is, it's out of place. It belongs in the water.
Mm-hmm.
They nest a little bit further to the north. In fact, a few nest in the Hudson River Valley.
Okay.
They're kind of like moving into the neighborhood. So
fair enough.
There's a big colony on Tom Hanek Reservoir. That's probably one of the closest places. Yeah.
800-348-2551. That's the number if you have a bird question for Rich Guthrie and Julie Hart. Let's go to dear old Del Mar, New York. Susan, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a pretty simple question. I would like to know if I can use some old bagged uncooked popcorn to feed birds with. And really old, like maybe 15 years old.
Is it not popped?
Would it be safe? Not popped.
Well, pop it, see what happens. it should be fine, unless you see obvious signs of mold on there. Hard shell seeds fare well over time, so... on the other hand, I don't know that the birds will recognize it readily and take to it as they
These
might.
Are kernels, right?
These are kernels and popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
Not
popped corn.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. They love popcorn.
They do like the popped stuff,
yeah.
too?
As soon as they learn what it is, it takes, you know, they got to, if they're not familiar with it, they got to test it and try it out, seeing if they're going to go with it. And then other birds are watching.
Right.
And seeing if this one's going to keel over or fly away or what.
I would expect that. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, is Rich suggesting that I pop it? Would that be more appetizing? Or
I don't know which way to go with that. I would try either way. It's kind of like I've never tried it, and I haven't heard of anybody else.
I'm wondering if you live somewhere with turkeys around. They might be probably the most likely to go for the unpopped kernels.
Sure. Moaning doves will also
gobble
that up.
Well, there is a lot of nature. I'm close to the nature trail, so.
Try both.
If there's no mold on there, I don't think there's any downside to trying it out.
Okay.
Nothing else, the chipmunks will love you.
Okay.
All right, Susan.
That's what's been holding me back.
Well, thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. To Stafford, Connecticut, and it's Chris. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
This is not a question. It's more of like an anecdote.
Oh, tremendous.
And this happened very recently.
Okay.
So I owned 6 ducks and a goose. And I had to unfortunately rehome them because I had a stroke at the beginning of the summer. And my balance was off and my equilibrium was off. And I wasn't able to care for them. The ducks were easy to get rid of, but the goose was much harder. And she was alone for a couple of weeks. And the first night I left her in the coop, she just squawked all night. And I was afraid she was going to, get predators. Mm. So I made a stupid mistake of moving her into my bedroom with me.
Genius. Okay.
Yeah.
Carry on.
I have four comforters. And every morning I would take a comforter outside and shake it and hang it on the railing. And I would keep washing them and everything. But last Sunday, I developed a very serious ear infection.
Uh-oh.
And when I went to the doctor, he stuck the scope in my ear. And the first thing he said to me was, do you have birds? Oh. And I said, no, but I have a goose.
Oh.
Well, where does the goose live? In my bedroom, on my bed.
Yikes.
I know, oh boy. So, just as, info for your listeners.
Wait, but why?
Not a good idea.
Yeah, but why, man?
Why? What's the relationship with the bird? Like, how did the bird give you an ear infection?
The bird poop.
The bird poop.
Ah, splendid.
Well, there's a motto to that.
The bird poop in your bedroom, then. That's not a good...
Birds are pretty dirty. They are dirty. They poop a lot.
They're disgusting. Oh, my God, they're disgusting.
Chris, before I dispatch you into the ether, I just want to let you know you made Zach the engineer's jaw drop, which is it's pretty impressive, man. Good job. Thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551.
The moral of the story there.
Don't put the goose in your bed, all right?
Keep
better ways
outside.
To get goose down comforters.
Oh, my heavens. What fresh hell is this? Let's go to James in Greenfield. James, you're on.
Hi, can you hear me all right?
Yeah, just pretty well, yeah.
Interesting. A caller two calls ago was calling about what she thought was a cormorant. And I live about halfway between Saratoga Springs and Corinth, so just outside the Adirondack Park, and I live on a six-acre pond that's a mixture of deep water and shallower water, and a large diving bird came down and landed on the pond and swam around and dove down. And I saw it swallow a whole, probably a 4 or 5 inch bullhead. Big head, big body, not like the size of a loon, but a much stockier head and very thick neck. But it was brown. The bill was hooked and was orange, but it had a very stocky head and very thick neck. Is that a cormorant?
Sounds like it.
Yep.
Fits the bill.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, because nothing else, the other birds don't have that hook to their beak, is that right?
No, right. Not, most birds do not. Cormorants and relatives have that.
Uh-huh.
And is this an immature cormorant? Because it wasn't black. The pictures I've seen in the bird books are black, like with a white ring on their neck and so forth. This one was just shades of brown with a lighter color underneath.
Yeah, you got it. It's a young one. It'll be that way for a couple of years, and then they'll get their characteristic old black color.
Okay.
And do birds change their color like that so they know which birds to breed with?
It's kind of up to them. But, yeah, that usually goes along with maturity.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. The number is 800-348-2551. Birds today with Rich Guthrie and Julie Hart. Speaking of birds, we've been speaking of birds. Out back yesterday, maybe the day before, it was a nice day, and we thought we saw what looked to be a woodpecker, but very small. Are birds spawning at this time of year, Julie Hart?
Spawning?
Not whatever they do.
No.
Fish.
They're not breeding.
Breeding. Yeah, no, that's good, too.
Most of them are not breeding at this time.
Interesting.
Goldfinches, there's a few species that might be breeding right now, but most of them not. So are you sure it wasn't a downy woodpecker?
Ooh, I don't know. It was small. Downy. It was black and white speckles on the back.
Yeah.
And we saw him briefly, and then he was gone.
Sounds like a downy.
But it was not a – I mean, we've seen the big
sure.
woodpeckers.
They come in different sizes.
Yeah.
Really?
And downy is the smallest that we have.
Is it rare?
And they're like
no. –
Yeah, that's about the size. Yeah.
Yeah, what was that? Five inches?
Yeah, about that.
Tall. Yeah.
Downy woodpecker is very adaptable. They're found in a lot of different habitats right across the country.
And do they eat sap and stuff too?
Sure.
Do they?
A lot of the woodpeckers will.
Will it? Will they? Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a break here. Zach's jaw is now back up into his head. We'll take a break. 800-348-2551. birds today. Rich Guthrie and Julie Hart will check the email bag and then go back to the phones. Vox Pop on WAMC. It's Ray Graff and Rich Guthrie and Julie Hart. And you, if you want to join in, it's 800-348-2551 or email voxpop@wamc.org. Ruth writes in, we love hummingbirds and have success with our feeder in Lake George. However, we've never had a hummingbird visit us at our house in Albany. When will they leave our area? What can we do to encourage hummingbirds to visit?
What was the name of that plant again? I would try that.
Agamemnon, or I don't know what she said.
Asvogachi, not quite. But I think, so this show in particular, actually, we've listed a number of the native plants that hummingbirds are really attracted to. So they would even come to your house, depending on where you are in Albany, even downtown Albany, if you have a nice yard. So you can Google plants that are attracted, that attract pollinators and hummingbirds, the bee balm, the scarlet runner beans, the some of the sage and the mints and some fuchsias, things like that. But our ruby-throated hummingbirds are getting ready to head south now.
Okay.
Rich mentioned earlier, put your feeders out and keep them out until through October at least and into November. And put them out again, in April next year?
Sure. April is not too early.
Yeah.
Some of these hummingbirds winter not far to the south of us.
Yeah.
Florida, Virginia, New Jersey.
Okay.
Long Island.
Right.
So they'd be back early.
Yeah, I think late April is roughly when we put ours out. So the plants and the hummingbird feeders will help you.
This is from Wayne in Stone Ridge. I live in Stone Ridge in Ulster County. Last week, over a two-day period, we saw dozens of birds circling pretty high over a few fields around our house. I could see white banding under the wings. Were these common nighthawks? And that's from Wayne in Stone Ridge.
Very likely. Good spotting, yes. Common nighthawk is not common, and they are not hawks. But they
Why do they call them that?
Because they look like a hawk. And, these early people, that farmers and the like, they really didn't know. They just sort of named things for what they looked like or sounded like. And they went with nighthawk. And thankfully, that name stuck. They're related to the whippoorwill. They are nighttime birds. But during this time of year, late August into September, they're migrating south. And they migrate in these kind of loose, large groups. And they're just kind of like a joy to watch. They have a very buoyant flight. They go around in circles and they're diving.
They remind me of a giant bat.
Yeah,
oh,
because
they're
just kind of like bouncing around right at dusk and eating the insects.
Yeah, good
they're
job
really
there.
Cool.
All right. Oh boy, this is from Karen. Weird hummingbird behavior. Howdy, says Karen. Saw two pale colored female immature hummers. Dashing around, one apparently chasing the other. When, to my surprise, one was on the ground, the other on top. They stayed this way for over a minute. It appeared elemental, mating, murdering, and I went on. It went on so long, I actually broke it up by going out on the porch. We call that birdus interruptus. Have you any idea what I saw? And that's from Karen.
Wow, not mating.
No, mating.
No, that's birds are mating. The male lands on top of the back of the female.
Couldn't have been what happened?
Negative.
No.
Especially
like
since they were both immatures or females. It was just kind of how the survival of the fittest. They were fighting over that. Hummingbirds are used to having a very scarce resource, not the hummingbird feeders that we put out where there's an abundance of food.
Yeah.
What they're protecting, what they're defending, is a small patch of a little bit of nectar in each little flower. Ain't much. And so they've defended vigorously. And that apparently seems to be what was going on. Maybe rival siblings. And that's a little over the top. I've never seen them get physical like that. It's usually just a bunch of hummingbird yelping and yelling and chasing.
All right, last email for now, and then we're going to hit the phones. This is from Amy. Help! I've noticed several birds have taken to picking at the brick face of my house. Why do they do this, and what can I do to prevent the damage?
Brick?
Bricks. Wow. Not wood.
Usually it's
bricks.
Wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that there's probably an insect hatch there.
The brick.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
they land on the brick because it's warm, it's in the sun, and the birds are drawn to it. Then they're not going to hurt the brick any before they hurt their bill a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Which goes back to those popcorn kernels. They're hard. If you mistakenly bite one of those and you're having popcorn, there can be serious dental issues.
Yes, indeed.
Bearing in mind that birds don't have teeth that I know of, can they do damage on these things?
Some of them have the gizzards, right? So they have
the
like
stones in there. Which is
Those will grind it up, right? So they have like their own.
So they just swallow them down and let the gizzard do the business. Dinosaurs had that, right? That's the throwback to the dinosaurs, the stones.
Yes, they're heritage.
Yeah, isn't that neat? All right, let's go back to our phone lines. 800-348-2551. Lakeville, Connecticut is the place. Robin is the person. Robin, go ahead.
Hi, Rich and Julie. About three or four hummingbird questions in a row, and you can then answer them all, hopefully.
Okay.
First, what senses do hummingbirds use to locate the feeders? Not the plants, but feeders. Secondly, how high do they fly when they migrate? Three, how far do they fly in a day in a migration? And B, when migratory hummingbirds are flying overhead from some out-of-area place, do they come down specifically looking for food, and how do they locate those feeders?
Hmm.
And then do they remember them each year, their locations?
It's a lot of questions, Robin. The show will be over by the time we're done answering them. Go ahead.
The last question first, yes.
What was the question?
I forget.
Okay. do they remember the bird?
Migrating hummingbirds coming down from their migratory areas, not where the hummingbirds that we see are, and how do they find feeders?
Gotcha.
Birds in general.
That are out in November and October.
The birds in general have incredible eyesight. Way beyond my imagination and skill. Certainly, they're outside of our visual spectrum. They see things we don't. And with even though they're a tiny little bird, they have the eye of an eagle. They can spot tiny little things at a great distance. Their acuity is phenomenal. And they look for color. Color is a big attractor. That's why you put red plastic around your hummingbird feeder. They find that. They find it by color. And trial and error.
Okay.
Julie?
Yeah, I was going to say for the questions about how far and how high they migrate, I don't have numbers. But, I mean, the ruby-throated hummingbirds will fly in the spring from the tip of the Yucatan Peninsula over the Gulf of Mexico. And that's like about their limit for them. They get across the Gulf of Mexico and they land in Texas and they are exhausted.
How do they get across? The Gulf of Mexico is pretty big.
It's big.
There islands there that they stop
no,
on?
No, this is a nonstop.
How do they do
flight.
It?
They bulk up. They get lots of sugar water and nectar
and
they get
the
fat
same thing
and they
southbound,
just go.
Which is why they're fattening up right now.
Right.
And to dispel an old myth, they do not ride on the back of geese to get to where they're going.
Right.
There was an old story back then.
I've never heard that story.
It was a belief.
All right. Robin, thanks a lot for the call. This, by the way, from David Agastachi, a.k.a. Hummingbird Mint. You ever heard of Hummingbird Mint?
I wonder if that's the mountain mint. Like, I have mountain mint, and the birds and the insects love the flowers, so
okay.
I just let it grow.
We'll have to look into that. Let's go to Ancrum, New York. It's Alice's turn. Hello, Alice. We got you. Go ahead.
I recently bought a Audubon bird call, and it's a small red instrument, and I'm not sure how to use it or where to look to find out.
I have one of those as well, and I got it as a novelty item. I would suggest that you just keep it in your pocket, in your purse. And and enjoy it as a nice little trinket. Basically, what it is a piece of of rosin or wood, usually basswood, and a pewter stick.
I think it's birch and zinc, yeah.
And you twist it in inside that, and it makes a little squeaky sound, and essentially it sounds like a bird chirping.
And why would you do that? Mm. What's the point?
The part is to get the bird's attention.
Okay, and but bird, I thought
so
that...
like pishing.
No, I thought that, you know, there are apps and things that'll do that, and people will play them, and I thought that was frowned upon.
It depends on the circumstances. Yeah. Always a situational awareness. What you don't want to do with any of these things... I'm sorry.
You go first, Alice.
To use it responsibly. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
To use it responsibly.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Okay.
Because you don't want to chase a bird off its territory.
Thanks a lot, Alice.
Birds defend their territory by singing. What a concept. And it works. What you don't want to do is out-sing the territorial male.
Yeah, all right. Let's go to Berlin. And Steve, you're on.
Hi. How are you guys today?
Good. How are you?
Well, in need of an answer about hawks.
Okay.
I'm outdoors a lot. I live up in a hollow in a high point of Rensselaer County, and I have not, that I can recall, seen as many hawks, various types, at all times of the day. From sitting on telephone lines to coming out of trees to sitting in hay fields, and there's just, I don't know how many different varieties, but they seem to be all over the place. And it's not just me. There are others in the community that see this also. What would be causing that? Mm. I mean, there's just many, many. They don't migrate, do they, right now?
Yeah, yes. You're in the peak of migration right now. So for the broad-winged hawk, their numbers are going over. And a bad weather episode will bring them down. And you could have... A crash, and actually a fallout.
Really?
Of migrating birds. Not only hawks, but other songbirds and the like. Bad weather will drop them down and sit it out, wait for the next good day.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just have never seen, there's, you know, three or four different types of hawks. I mean, I know a red tail, and I've seen some coopers, I've just never seen these. I've been around here for a long time. And I just have never seen that migration pattern that you're talking about happen now out here.
It does happen, and, it's not an everyday occurrence. And as you observe, it's not it's the first time that you've run into it, but it does happen. And it's an odd circumstance. They'd rather keep moving, but things happen and bring them all down at once. They migrate not a singular, you know, they migrate in mixed flocks, so... the variety of birds can be out there, and they all come down at once, and there you were.
Okay, Steve, thanks a lot. What do you mean mixed flocks? Now, hawks are birds of prey.
Yeah.
Would they be hanging with a bunch of other kinds of birds?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
well, aren't they lunch?
Are the hawks? Yeah, sure. They'll pick out lunch while they're going if they can.
They're all riding the same thermals, the same wind currents, so they tend to move on the same nice conditions.
They're on the same wavelength, right?
Yeah. Lynn writes in from Del Mar, I'm planning a trip to Thatcher Park, which is gorgeous. Please tell me, what would be the best time to see migration?
Right now. And in fact, if you go to the overlook there, the folks at the Hudson Mohawk Bird Group will have days of hawk watching set up where you can join others with they'll have spotting scopes and binoculars and identification charts. So Thatcher Park, which is in Albany County, New York, not far from the city, is a wonderful place to go and watch migrating hawks.
Janet writes in, 2 weeks ago, a white hummingbird showed up. It has black eyes, but otherwise white. Absolutely beautiful and very hungry. Left about 4 days ago. I understand it's a mutation? Question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Most likely it's, leucistic.
It's a good one to keep an eye out for to see if it comes back again. These mutated birds, these ones with the little color variations, are excellent opportunities to observe individual behavior, survival, and comings and goings with other birds of their species. And so keep an eye out for that.
Okay.
Very unusual and worth getting a photograph or two of.
All right, let's go to Merle in Argyle. Hello, Merle in Argyle.
I'm on. How about that?
Go ahead, man.
How you doing?
Yeah, you know.
This has to do with migration. There's been an article on NPR about some guy trying to get some flamingos from somewhere in Northern Europe to Spain, and he's having to direct them.
What?
But I heard you say that for the warblers, they leave the babies behind. How do they know where to go?
All right, that's a fair question.
That's a good question.
Small birds again, big birds, or it just depends on the variety.
Okay.
It depends on the variety, and it's an excellent question. We don't know the answer to that, but it's ingrained in their DNA, mm-hmm. where to go and where to come back
to. Well, if you don't know the answer, how do you know it's ingrained in their DNA?
That's the best I could come up with.
I mean, maybe it's some magnetic deal.
Yeah, well, magnetic fields and polarized light and also physical features mm-hmm. come into play. But what to choose to pick to go to and come back to is built in there. It's like the senses of the salmon. They come back to where they were spawned. So there are some mysteries out there. We understand pieces of it. We interpret a lot from the pieces we see and observe. But there's, in my mind, a lot more to it than what meets the eye.
All right.
Yeah. And I think that is one of the really miraculous things about birds. You know, they're very inspiring, right? They make these huge migration trips. They can navigate like all these places where they've never been to before. They keep coming back to the same yard. They know the same people. I mean, just amazing.
Yeah, really amazing.
And sometimes it doesn't work the way they ought to be.
When bad weather strikes,
bad makes a DNA or something, and this is a time of year to watch for those strays, those vagrants that. Instead of going south, went north. Instead of going south, went east. And so now's the time to keep an eye out for the unusual and usually young birds that may be pioneering a new territory and the like. So, but get them on eBird. Let us know about it. Get pictures.
And what is that website, sir?
eBird.org.
All right, let's quickly, we only have 30 seconds. Chris, you have a very brief amount of time to do your thing. Go. Chris and Sandgate.
Thank you all. This is interesting, too, hopefully. We get our summer kicked off with a turkey vulture convention. It's like, I don't know, there's quite a lot of them, 15, 20, a lot of them. And do they hang around? There's one I see flying overhead. What's the name of a bunch of them? Not like a murder, but what would you call them?
A kettle.
Kettle of vultures?
Well, that's kind of, kettle when they're migrating, but other than that, a flock.
You're kidding me.
A flock works for a lot of things.
I would call them a law firm, but that's a different thing.
A kettle is when all the raptors are going up in a thermal, and so they're kind of spiraling, kind of looks like a loose tornado.
That's amazing.
That's called a kettle.
Do they normally gather in such large numbers, and do they disperse? Right.
No, vultures have a traditional gathering roost. Which they will come back to each evening during the summer months. In the winter months where they go south, they'll do their own thing down there.
Yeah, all right, Chris, we got to leave it there. We are done with the show. Julie Hart, we'll see you next month.
Yep.
You're not traveling
Looking
anywhere between now
it.
And then?
Nope.
Okay. Just
I'll
in
be
case.
Here. Yep.
What about you, Guthrie?
I should be here.
All right, so you're not going to the moon to see the birds?
Hey, if I could, I might, but no.
Fair enough. All right, well, thank you all. We'll see you next month. Support comes from Agriculture Stewardship Association, working to help people conserve farmland and forests in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve working land for good forever. agstewardship.org. We clean heat pumps, providing cleaning and maintenance of ductless mini-split heat pumps and PTAC for the protection of air quality in homes and businesses as AC season is here. WeCleanHeatPumps.com. Apologies for your semi-professional announcer once again. And Rhinebeck Artist Shops, offering fine artist materials and custom picture framing in Rhinebeck at New Paltz, serving the Hudson Valley for over 45 years. HudsonValleyArtistShops.com. Once again, thanks to Rich Guthrie and Julie Hart for being here. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the calls. Thanks for the emails. Thanks to Ed Rosen, who screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Darren Tracy will be back to answer the question of why my house is falling down. We'll do home maintenance tomorrow at 2:00.